Today's Shir Masechta Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we discussed that the Kohen Gadol wears Shemayna Begadim. The Kohen Gadol wears the eight big day kohuna, and the Kohen Hedget wears four big day kohuna. Says the Gemara, Be'elu, only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Shemayna big day kohuna, then and only then, can he nishalim b'urim v'tumim? Do we inquire of b'urim v'tumim if there's anything to ask? Says the Gemara, Kos Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Omari said, "Begadim shkoyin gadol mishamahem, the begadim that the kohen gadol wears in the base of mikdash, mishuach mechama mishamahem." There was a special individual who was appointed to be the mishuach mechama. He was a kohen who was appointed to speak to the people when they went out to war, everything that they need to know on how to prepare themselves to go to war. And the reason he was called the Meshuach Mechama is A, as we just discussed, he was appointed to speak before Klal Yisrael went out to war. And he was also Meshuach. He was an individual who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and Rav Dimi says that he too wore the Shemayna Begadim, just like the Kohen Gadol. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, "Ubigdei Kodesh Ashalava Ashala Aharon Yiu Laban of Achrav." Says the Gemara, what does that Pasuk come to teach us? Lemi Shabar Begdul Achrav. The person who is the second in command to the Kohen, to Kohen Gadol. So the person who is second to the Kohen Gadol, he's the person that also should wear the big day, the Shemayna big day kohuna. Masav Adabar Hava, Vamalei Chedi, Yochel, the Brisa says, Yochel, Yei B'noi Shem Meshur Mechama Meshamei Shtachtov, we would think that the son of the Meshur Mechama is his successor. Kederach Shebenoi Shel Kohen Gadol Meshamei Shtachtov, just like the son of the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol's successor. Tamalayim, the Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim Yubashayim HaKoyin Tachtim Abonav Ashiyova El Moid. So if we learn from here, Mi Shiroi Lova El Moid, the Kohen Gadol who works in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippurim, that Kohen is the one that his son succeeds him. But if the Meshuach Mechama, who his role is not to be the one that goes into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, his son does not succeed him. V'misa, but ask the Gemara if what Rav Dimi said is correct, that the Meshuach Mechama also wears the Shemayna Begadim, so what's required to be able to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, at least some of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, is to be able to wear the Shemayna Begadim. If that's what's required to be able to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, why can't the Meshuach Mechama is qualified to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur? If he's qualified to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, his son should be able to succeed him. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kachi Kamar. This is the way to understand the pasuk. Kol she'ekem shi'chasoi lo yamayid. Anyone who the primary reason he was anointed, was to do the avodah na'amayid, then his son succeeds him. Yotze zeh she'ekem shi'chasoi, even if he wears the Shemayna Begadim, but that's not his primary role. His primary role is to be the Meshuach Mechama, not to do the avodah. So I saw a fantastic story from the Chafetz Chaim. There was once a situation that there was a city that had a Rav, and the Rav was Nifter. And his children said that they believed that they should be appointed to succeed. One of his sons said that he should be appointed to succeed his father. And there were other people in the city who felt that they should choose someone else to be the new Rav of the city. And they decided they would go to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim should make a decision who should be appointed to that should be appointed to be the Rav of that city. The Chafetz Chaim met both parties, and then he said, and he quoted our Gemara. He says that in our Gemara we find something very interesting. The Kohen Gadol's son is the one that succeeds his father. The Meshuach Melchama's son does not succeed his father. The Chafetz Chaim asked, why is there such a distinction between the Kohen Gadol and the Meshuach Melchama? So he explained, and afterwards I found that it's actually a Ratvaz. The Meshuach Melchama, the Kohen Gadol's job is to do, as we've been learning primarily in this Masechta, but we know the Kohen Gadol's primary job is to do whatever is required for Klal Yisrael, the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the primary position of the Meshuach Melchama is to lead Klal Yisrael in the time of war. When Klal Yisrael is in a time of war, we have to appoint the person who's most suited for that position. And we can't look at Yerusha, and we can't look at anything else. We just have to look at who is the person who's most suited. So he says, said the Chafetz Chaim, in a time where Klal Yisrael was in a good place, and all that the Rav had to do is the job of the Rav. The Rav had to prepare Klal Yisrael, do all the rabbinical functions, answer shailas, etc. That is the kind of a position that could go with a Yerusha from a father to a son, from one Kohen Gadol to his, from one Kohen Gadol to the next, to his son. But now, he explained to Chafetz Chaim, the job of a Rav is to lead his community in troubling times, in times where Klal Yisrael are challenged. And in such times, we can't look at who is the Yairish, who is the inheritor. We have to look at who is the most suited. And therefore, he says, I can't agree that the son should automatically be given that position that the father held, unless indeed he is the most suited for that position. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara asks a question, Meisve, on Rav Dimi's opinion. The Braisa says, Meshuach Melchama ena Meshamish, the Meshuach Melchama doesn't wear loy ba'arba k'kohen hedjet, doesn't wear the four big dekuna like a kohen hedjet wears, v'loy b'shmoyne begadim k'kohen hedjet. He doesn't wear the shmoyne begadim. So this Braisa clearly indicates, not like Rav Dimi began our shiur today, that the Meshuach Melchama wears the shmoyne begadim. Amalei Abaya, Abaya asks, let's understand this Braisa. El Azor Mashvaslei, even if Rav Dimi is incorrect, certainly the Meshuach Melchama is no worse than a regular Kohen. And why shouldn't he be entitled at least to wear the four big de kahuna? Ella, he says that really Rav Dimi is right. And with the Meshuach Melchama ought to wear the Shemayna Begadim like a Kohen Gadol. The reason he doesn't is Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. It's only because we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol will feel very threatened when somebody else is wearing the Shemayna Begadim. On the other hand, Kohen Hedjet, we cannot let him wear just the Arba Begadim like a Kohen Hedjet, because there's a rule, Malam Bekodesh Ve'emaridin. We only could take a person up, not down. So if he could wear the Shemayna Begadim, it's unacceptable that he should wear only Arba Begadim. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Midah Raisa, the Rabbi is saying, is that Rav Dimi is correct, that he ought to wear the Shemayna Begadim. Chazal, however, said that this because of Eva, we don't let him wear it. And the Siach Yitzchak explains, when will he be allowed to wear the Shemayna Begadim? Is if the Kohen Gadol passed away, and they did not yet appoint another Kohen Gadol. So then there's no consideration of Eva. Since there's no consideration of Eva, then we could allow him to wear the Shemayna Begadim. Ask the Gemara. So here we learn Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridim. So the Sfas Emma says that Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridim means that somebody was already in a certain Madrega and we can't bring him down. But if we're learning according to this Braisa, says the Sfas Emes, that we never let the Meshuach Melchama wear Shemayna Begadim, so how can we apply here the concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridim? So answer the Sfas Emes, There are times that everybody agrees that the Meshuch Mechama wears the Shemayin Begadim. When he goes out to war and he tells the people who go out to war what he has to tell them, then he wears the Shemayin Begadim. So therefore, since he already became accustomed, albeit only under those circumstances, to wear the Shemayin Begadim, he has to continue wearing the Shemayin Begadim under, or he cannot go down to wearing Abba Begadim. Ask the Gemara on this pshat that Abaya just taught us, the Tana that doesn't hold of Aver, still holds that he doesn't, that the Meshuch Mecham doesn't wear Shemayin Begadim. The Tanya, the Braisa says, where do we find in Halacha, what are the halachic differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot? Par Kohen Mashiach, we know that Kohen Gadol, when he makes a mistake, and he paskin the shayla on something, on an avera, which normally if that avera was violated by memezer, there would be a chiyuv karis. It was violated by shoygi, there would be a chiyuv chatis, and he acted on based on his incorrect psak, so he has to bring a par koyin mashiach. The koyin hedyit that makes that type of mistake, he would have to bring a regular karm chatis. Or par b'Yom Kippurim, as we've learned extensively in our Masechta, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to pay the par that was brought for the Kohanim. For Siris Eifa, we also have learned that many times the Kohen Gadol every day had to bring a minchas chavitim, a carbon mincha, that was made out of a Siris Eifa flour. Machtzisa b'boika, half of it was offered in the morning, or machtzisa b'yabayin abayim, and half of it was offered in the afternoon. Furthermore, like Pereya, a Kohen Gadol may not allow his hair to grow long because, according to Rashi, because of Avelis. According to the Rambam, it's not connected to Avelis. The Kohen Gadol may never let his hair grow long. Like Pereya, we know of Rachman Tzlan, one of somebody's close relatives, is Chas V'Shalom Nifter, he has to tear Kriya. That halacha doesn't apply by Kohen Gadol. Avo Parim Hu Milmata, he does tear his garment on the bottom, at the hem. Hedyot, but a Kohen Hedyot, if he loses one of his close relatives, and he has to tear Kriya, Milmala, he tears his garment on the top. Veimetam l'kroivav, Naloch is that a Kohen Hedyot, even though normally he's not allowed to become Tamei, but one of his close relatives is Nifter, he's obligated to become Tamei. A Kohen Gadol doesn't ever become Tamei. Moreover, Mitzvah ala psula, a Kohen Gadol may only marry a psula, umhuzer ala, whereas a Kohen Hedyot is not limited to only marrying a psula, umhuzer ala mona, a Kohen Gadol may not marry an almana, whereas a Kohen Hedyot may not marry a grusha, but he may marry an almana. Machsas ritzeach, we know that if somebody killed somebody else b'shoigig, the halacha is that the murderer has to go to the Ir Miklat, and he remains there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. V'yashav ba ad mois Kohen Gadol, but it's only the Kohen Gadol, but not the Kohen Hedyot. Makriv oinen, when one of his close relatives is nifter, until the night after the patira, he's an oinen, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring kabonis to the avoida when he's an oinen. However, ena oichel, but as long as he's still an oinen, until he's an oinen, he doesn't allow to eat from the kabbonis. And not only is he not allowed to eat from the kabbonis, aina choylik, he's not even entitled to take a shear, even if it's his intention to only eat from those kabbonis in the evening when he will no longer be an oinen. He still may not eat from those tonight, take a shear in order to be able to eat at night. Noitel choylik b'roish, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, we normally divide the kabbonis and everything that's in the Beis Hamikdash between the various Kohanim, that Mishmar of that Beis Av, etc. The Kohen Gadol could come and say, I want to take any shear that I want. Makrav Chel Barosh, similarly, the Avoida is divided amongst Mishmaris and Beit Av with a Goyal, with a Pious. The Kohen Gadol is above all that. If he chooses to do the Avoida, he has the right to do it. Mishamish, when he does the Avoida, he wears Shmoyne Kalim, 8 big day kuhuna, potter al tumas migdash to kadoshav. If he entered the base of migdash, or 8 kachim, when he was tamei, he has to bring a special type of carbon, which we've discussed, the carbon oil of yared. It depends on the person's financial situation. He either brings, if he's wealthy, he brings an animal for carbon chattis. If he's not wealthy, he brings two birds, or one lechattis and one le'oila. And if he can't even afford that, he brings an asiris eifah for carbon mincha. The kohen gadol doesn't have to bring that type of carbon if he violated tumas mikdash v'kedoshav. And as we've been learning in this masechta quite extensively, v'kol avodas yom kippurim ein k'sheres alaboy. All the avodah of Yom Kippur is only with the kohen gadol. And as we've discussed previously in our shiurim, the Baal Amar is of the opinion that they didn't even do a goyro on Yom Kippur, because even though every day in the Beis HaMikdash a goyro was done, on Yom Kippur everything is done by the kohen gadol, so there's no point in doing a goyro. However, the Rambam's opinion is that maybe there wasn't a goyro for all the avodas that were done during the day. So there was a goyro that was done for the Trumas Hadeshen, that was done Yom Kippur in the morning, because according to the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol was not the one that was obligated to do the Trumas Hadeshen. There are other Rishonim that say that the parts of the Kabbonis that were taken up to the Mizbeach were not all carried by the Kohen Gadol. They were carried up to the Mizbeach by other Kohanim, that was done with a Goyrel. But certainly all the primary Avoidus of Yom Kippur were done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol. The Kulan, and all the halachas that we just described, as we said at our beginning of Ashir, typically the way a Kohen Gadol was appointed, after he was appointed, the way he was given the job, was that they anointed him with the Shemen HaMishcha. However, after the Shemen HaMishcha was no longer available, the way a Kohen Gadol was appointed to his position was by telling him to wear the Shemayna Begadim that we've been discussing. So says the Gemara that all the halachas that apply to a Kohen Gadol apply whether he was appointed or whether he was just appointed by being told to wear the Shemayna Begadim. Chutz, the only exception, is what we spoke about at the beginning of this brisa, Parabah Kalamitzis. We spoke about the special carbon that, whereas a Yisrael, were he to do such an Aveira, would bring a carbon chattis. A Kohen Gadol brings the special power, and the only type of Kohen that brings that, Kohen Gadol, that brings that special power, is a Kohen that was appointed through being anointed, as the Pasuk indicates, Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechdal Ashmasan. The Kulan, and says the Braisa, Nohagis B'Meshuach Sh'over, if a Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol, and then he was removed from his office, all the halachas that we just discussed apply to him as well. Chutz mipar Yom Kippurim, the special Kabbonis Yom Kippur only applies to the Kohen Gadol, who's currently the Kohen Gadol, and the Aser Seifa, the Mechas Chavitim, that are brought every day. Continues the Braisa, the Kula Enan Hagas B'Shuach Mechama, but all the halachas that we just learned do not apply to B'Shuach Mechama. Chutz Mechamish Dvarim Hamurim B'Parsha, except the five things that explicitly said in the parasha of the Kohen Gadol. Loi Pereya, he may not leave his hair to grow long. Loi Pirim, he doesn't tear his begadim when he's an Avul Rachman Tzlan. Loi Metam L'Krayvav, he too may not become tummy to any even to close relative. Or Mitzuvah Al Bsula, he only may marry a Bsula. Or Muzar Almana, he may not marry an Almana. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the death of the Meshuach Mechama will also cause that everybody who is in the Ir Miklat may go free. However, that halacha only applies by the Kohen Gadol, not by the Meshuach Mechama. But what do we see clearly? That the Mishnah, that it says, V'kul nahagz b'meshuach sh'avar, that only a person who was actually a Kohen Gadol wears the Shemayna Begadim, but not the Meshuach Mechama. And Rav Dimi said that a Meshuach Mechama does wear the Shemayna Begadim, and the only reason we don't let him wear it is Mishum Eva. Answers the Gemara, Ki Leslei, when, answers the Gemara, really Meshuach Mechama wears the Shemayna Begadim. And the reason he doesn't wear it is only because a concern of the Rabbanan, Bishum Eva. So why did this Tana only say by Meshuach Mechama? Says the Gemara, ki lesle, when does the Tana not concern for Eva, but the Kava say? Somebody who was a kohen gadol, just like this person is a kohen gadol, there isn't that level of jealousy because they were both in the same status. So such a person can continue wearing the Shemayna Begadim even though he's no longer the kohen gadol. However, the Meshuach Mechama, the Zutamenei, is a lower category than the Kohen Gadol. And were we to allow him to continue wearing the Shemayna Begadim, there's going to be Eva. And that's why he doesn't wear the Shemayna Begadim. But it's really Midaraisi, ought to, and it's a special Gzeri de Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, Yasser Ravu v'kamala ha-shmatza. Ravu was learning this Gemara that Midaraisa, the Meshuach Mechama, ought to wear the Shemayna Begadim. Mishmei, Rav Yochanan, he said over this halacha in the name of Rav Yochanan. Adrini Rav Ami Rav Asi lepanayu. So Rav Ami Rav Asi turned away to indicate that Rav Yochanan never said this. Ikad Amri, Rav Chiya bar Abba Amra. It was stated by Rav Chiya bar Abba. Adrini Rav Ami Rav Asi lepanayu. Rav Ami Rav Asi turned away to show that they don't agree that Rav Yochanan ever said this. Maskula Rapapa. So ask Rapapa. Bishlama Rabavu Amra, according to the version that it was Rabavu who said it, so that's why Rav Ami and Rav Asi did not want to explicitly disagree. Mishim Yukra Debe Kesar, because Rabavu was very close to the emperor, and they had great respect for Rabavu, and that's why they did not want to directly disagree with him. They only showed that they're disagreeing. Asked the Gemara, Ella Rav Chiya bar Abba. According to Rav Chiya bar Abba, that it was Rav Chiya bar Abba that said it, so Rav Chiya bar Abba wasn't such an important person. So asked the Gemara, Neymar Le Meymar, why could they have not told him explicitly that we, Rav Yochanan, Laam Rav Yochanan Hachi? Says the Gemara, Kiyosra, Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, the Gemara goes back to the Beit De Kahuna and the Meshuach Mechama. So says the Gemara, Kiyosra, Ravin Amar, Nishal Etmar. The Beis Medrash, they didn't discuss about the Shemayna Begadim, if the Meshuach Mechama wears them or don't wear them. What it means to say is that when they wanted to ask the Meshuach Mechama a question about going out to the war, and they wanted to ask him the Urim V'Tumim, that's when he wore the Shemayna Begadim. But when he was doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he wears Arba Begadim like a Kohen Hedyot. It's only when he's in that special time when he's just talking to the Urim V'Tumim. It says the Gemara Tanya Namihachi. Actually, that's what we learned in the Braisa. Begadim shoy Kohen Gadol mishamish behem. This Shmaina Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears meshuach mehem and nishal behem. That's when he talks to the Urim V'Tumim. That's when he puts on the Shmaina Begadim. But then, and only then, is the time that he wears the Shmaina Begadim. So the Gemara begins to discuss how a question was posed to the Urim V'Tumim. Ketzet Shoyalim, how was a question posed to the Urim V'Tumim? Says the Gemara, Hashoyal Panav Klapei Anishol, the person who has a question faces the person to whom he is asking. V'Anishol Panav Klapei Shechina. There's a very big machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what this means. According to Rashi, the shoyal and the nishal, the person asking the question, the person who's being asked, were facing each other. Whereas according to the Rambam, that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is that everybody was facing the Shechina. And therefore the person who was wearing the Urim V'Tumim was facing the Shechina. And the person who was asking the question of him stood behind him and faced his back. But was facing the same direction as the person who was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. Hashal Omer, the Shoyal asked the question, when Amalekim attacked the city of Tziklag, and they had captured all the people, the women and the children, David HaMelech asks the Urim V'Tumim, Erdav Achra Eidur Azeh, should I go to war with them? V'Nishal Omer, and the person who asked the question says that this is the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you. Kai Omer Hashem, Alei Vatzlach. Go and you shall be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzarech Lo Mikai Omer Hashem. There is no reason to say Kai Omer Hashem, because as the Miri says, it's obvious that whatever message he's giving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just say, Alei Vatzliach, and it's obvious that this message is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara further, ain't shaylin b'kol rom, because we don't ask the question to Rav Tumim in a loud voice. Shenem of a shaloi. V'shal means in a regular voice. V'loi mahar b'libay. But on the other hand, it shouldn't just be a question that the questioner is being just thinking about it. Shenem ha v'shaloi l'fnei Hashem. Ella, the way to talk is k'derosh amar chana b'tfilosai. The same way that Chana spoke when she davened, shenem of chana him daberes aliba, that she said the words, raks for san nos, her lips were moving the kolli shama. And this actually begins a discussion, how loud is a person allowed to say the Shemoneh Esrei? Most paiskim have the opinion that a person should verbalize the words of the Shemoneh Esrei. He could verbalize them loud enough that he could hear what he's saying, but not say it loud enough, but he should be careful not to say it so loud that the person standing next to him should hear. The Bechor Shor disagrees. And the Bechor Shor says you're allowed to even say it, you're supposed to say in a way that there is some sound coming out and it doesn't bother him that the person standing next to him could hear. But that's not what most poskim paskin. Says the Braisa further regarding the Urim V'Tumim. Ain't Shalom Shnei Tfarim Kechad. We shouldn't ask two questions at the same time. Vim Shalom, if somebody does ask a question that way, Emachzirim El Echad. He's only going to get a reply to one of the questions. Vemachzirim El Arishin. He's only answered the first question that he asked. Shenemar, when David was in the city of Keilah and Shaul wanted to chase after David and they wanted, Shaul wanted that the people of Keilah should hand over David HaMelech to Shaul. And Shaul asked, and David HaMelech asked, Hayazgiruni Bali Keilah B'yadai. He wanted to know what will happen. Will the people of Keilah give me over? Hayerit Shaul. And he wanted to know, will Shaul attack me? V'yom Hashem Yerit. So we see that David HaMelech asked two questions, but he was only answered, the second question. Ask the Gemara, but we said that if you ask two questions, you only receive a reply to the first question. And here, David received the reply to the second question. Amrit asked the Gemara, the Urim V'Tumim only answers the first question. David answers the Gemara, David Shaul Shalok Seder. Because David didn't ask the question, says the Gemara, in the proper order. He should have first asked if Shaul is going to attack the city of Keilah, and then asked if he will attack, what will be the people of Keilah's reaction? But so he didn't ask the question in the proper order, but Echzir like to say that he received the reply in the proper order. V'kiven sheyoda sheshaul shalok seder, and says the Gemara, once David recognized that he did not ask the questions in the proper order, once he realized that he did not ask the question in the proper order, Chazav Shal Kaseidah. So then he asked him the proper order. Shenema Yizgiru Balakila Oisi Bas Anchi Biacho. First he asked, will we be given over? V'yam Hashem Yizgiru. Says the Gemara, V'mhutzuch Adavul Shnaim. But let's say there's an important matter and we don't have time to ask each question separately. Then, says the Gemara, Machzirim Lo Shnaim, then he will get two answers at once. Because as we spoke about earlier, when Amalek attacked Siklag and captured the families of David, the pasuk says, "V'yashal Dov Hashem Lema Erdav Achrei Gudazeh." Should I go after them? Hasigena, will I be successful? V'yom Loi Rudoyv Ki Hasik Tasik V'Hatzel Tatzel. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him both answers. Go and do what you have to do, and you will be successful. So the pasuk in the Gemara is: when is there a case that you allow to ask two questions when there's a time constraint? Here the people were in danger and every minute until they got the answer, so the time did not allow for David HaMelech to ask the question twice. Says the Mevat Bishik Zeres Novi Chazeres, even though something that a nevuah is given by a Navi can be overturned, if a Navi brings a message to Klal Yisrael of something that's going to happen, if we do tshuva, it's overturned. Gzeiris urim v'tumim ein chazeres. Something that was said by the urim v'tumim never is overturned. Shenemar b'mishpat urim. The Torah calls what is said by the new Urim as Mishpat. So I saw that the Ben Ish Chai explains that since the entire way, as we're going to learn, that the Urim V'Tumim gave a reply was all Nisim, how the letters combined, and a Nes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never goes back on a Nes that he did. And that's what he says, the Pasuk says, that David HaMelech asks, Asemi Ois L'Toivah. So he says that Ois stands for Urim V'Tumim. Do for me, and if something was decided through Urim V'Tumim, Yiru Sonai V'Yavayshu. My enemies know that they have no hope. Why have they no hope? Because this was said by the Urim V'Tumim, and something that was said by the Urim V'Tumim cannot ever be overturned. Lom asked the Gemara, Lom and Nikrishman Urim V'Tumim, and why were they called Urim V'Tumim? Says the Gemara, Urim Shemi'irim Stavreim, everything that they said was lit up, Tumim Shemishlim Stavreim, that everything that the Urim V'Tumim said was 100% correct. The stones lit up, and everything that they paskined was 100% fulfilled. Vim Timer, and if you'll ask that everything that the Urim V'Tumim says is correct, then when we had the story of Givas Binyamin, where there was the story of the Pelegish Begiva, which is brought in Sefer Shoftim in Parakim Yudalit and Chof, where there were people from Binyamin who lived in the city of Givas Binyamin who attacked a person who came from Shevet Levi, and all of Klal Yisrael came to take revenge for what was done. And what happened was, they asked the Urim V'Tumim who should be the first to go to battle with the Bnei Binyamin. And the Urim V'Tumim said, Yehuda B'Tchila, that people from Shevet Yehuda should be the first to take battle against the Givas Binyamin. And what happened was, when they went to battle, many people, to be exact, 22,000 people died in that war. And when they asked on the second day again of the Urim V'Tumim, should they continue going to war? And the Urim V'Tumim said yes. And then 18,000 people died. Only on the third day, when they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they brought kabbonis, and then they asked the question to the Urim V'Tumim that, and told to go to war, were they successful? But now we just learned, asked the Gemara, that everything that the Urim V'Tumim says is fulfilled. So how do we understand this? Answers the Gemara, Bnei Shlo Yishlimu, they didn't complete what the Urim V'Tumim said. Shem Lo Bichnu, they didn't ask Olav Atzlichu. They asked if they should go Amnatzeich, Amnatzeich. They only asked, should they go to war? And they were told to go to war, but they weren't told that they will be successful in war. But the third time, they bichnu, that they asked, will we be successful? And then the scheme of the Urim V'Tumim said, you will be successful. Should I continue going out to battle or not? So only when they got the message that they should be successful, that's when they should have gone. So ask the Gemara, Ketzed Nasis, how did they get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Boltois. Well, what happened was that all the letters would light up, and that's how they were able to put together the letters, that the message of what they should do. The Shlokish Amar, Mitztarfis. The letters, through a nace, obviously, would move from where they were and help them get an answer to the question that they asked. Ask the Rambam, we don't have all the letters of the Alabes in the names of the Shvatim. For like Sibu Tzadi, there is no Tzadik in the letters of the Alabes. And actually, the Tosfos Rishonim points out that the Gemara could have also asked that there's no Ches and there's no Kuf. But the Gemara asked on one of them, but really all of these letters aren't there. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Shmuel Bam Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Ksib Sham. Besides the names of all the Shvatim, they also had Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And that's why it was successful. And the whole like Sibba asked the Gemara, even if we add Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, there is no test. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yitzchak Yaakov, on top of this all, there was also the names of Shifti Yeshurim Ksivsham, the names of the Shifti Yeshurim. There's a machloikis how that worked. Were these names attached, were these letters attached to the names of the Shvatim to add Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shifti, Yeshurim, or were there special stones that had those words on them? Moreover, the Meshech Chochma says that after David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech passed away, the Urim V'Tumim no longer were effective. Because the Urim V'Tumim are only effective, they explain, as long as Klal Yisrael is Ba'achdus. We are all one under one king. But once Klal Yisrael was split, so the Shvatim are not really all together. Once the Shvatim are not really all together, the Urim V'Tumim can no longer be effective. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Kol Kodesh Enim B'Dabar Ruach HaKodesh, any kind that doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, V'Shechina Sharelov, ain't Sharelim Ba. Shrei Shol Tzadik, Vosloi, Shol asked the question of the Urim V'Tumim, and he got an answer. Av Yosso asked the question of Eloi Osloi. Shnemar, V'yal Av Yosso, Atom Kol Om. And the way the Gemara explains the V'yal was that he was removed from the Kohuna Gedolah because they saw that he couldn't get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim. So we see that it doesn't have anything to do, it wasn't the letters, it was the Kohen Gadol who gave the answer, and he has to be a Kohen Gadol that's worthy. Answers the Gemara, so you have a Messiah Hadei. The Ruach HaKodesh makes the Urim V'Tumim effective. But if the Urim V'Tumim doesn't have, if the Kohen Gadol doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, then the Urim V'Tumim cannot be, then the Urim V'Tumim cannot be effective. Vein Shalom El Melech. We learned in the Mishnah that the only people could ask a question of Urim V'Tumim, a Melech, a Bezdin, Olami, Shatzi, B'Tzarech Ba. Ask the Gemara Manani Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Avud, Amar Kro, Ulfnei, Alozah, Koyin Yamed, V'Sholoi, B'Mishpat, Urim V'Tumim. Who is a Melech, or refers to a Melech? It was that pasuk speaking about Yeshua, who was the Melech, the leader. The Kabbalah Yisrael Ita is a Meshuch Mechama, as Klal Yisrael go out to war, as we discussed extensively in our beginning of our Shia today, the Meshuch Mechama was the critical person as they went out to war. For Kol Eida, Sanhedrin, they're called the Enei Ha'eda. For them and only for them does the Urim V'Tumim respond. Hanu Lach Ba'al Kain Gadol, Hanu Lach Ba'al Kain Gadol, Hanu Lach Ba'al Kain Gadol. In Mitzvah Shem, we begin the last perek of our Masechta, the perek that Yom Kippurim, which is actually a different subject than everything that we've learned till now. We began the Masechta as we come to so deep into the Masechta. We spoke about the preparation of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. We spoke about the schedule and the avodah of the Kohen Gadol throughout the day of Yom Kippur. And this perek speaks about the halachas of Yom Kippurim itself, and it also speaks about the mitzvah of tshuva. And as Tosfos explains, first we talk about the avodah of Yom Kippur, and then we speak about what Yom Kippur is all about. We know that in Yom Kippurim, there are five things that we're not allowed to do, as we're going to learn in our shiur today. And why are there specifically five things that we're not allowed to do? Because the Eliyahu Rabbi says it corresponds to the Chamisha Chum Shetayra. The Chamisha Chum Shetayra, if a person wants to do tshuva, the way he's successful to do tshuva is by connecting himself to the Chamisha Chum Shetayra. Another pshat that I saw is that there are five senses. And the five senses are what help is what we do everything good, unfortunately, when we do something wrong. So that's why corresponding to those five senses, we have to have five things that we refrain from on Yom Kippur that will help us do tshuva. Another pshat that I saw is that Olam Hazeh, the Medrash says, was created with the letter Hey. And another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara, when it discusses all the different letters of the alabes, says that hey corresponds to the Baal Tshuva, who has an opening on the bottom, on the side, how to creep back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. On Yom Kippur, as we're going to learn, Achil of Shtia is also eating and drinking, Rechitza, washing, Sicha, anointing oneself, Nilas sandal, wearing leather shoes, Vatasha Shemita, marital relations. Achil of Shtia are also Medaraisa. And the other inuyim, there's machlokes rishonim. Most rishonim Taisus that the other Inuim are only awesome with Rabbanim. However, the Rambam's opinion is that they're awesome with the Raisa. However, there is no, the Einish of Karis doesn't apply to them, but they are awesome with the Raisa. As far as Yom Kippur is concerned, as we're going to learn in our Masechta, even though we just said that eating and drinking, we're not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur, it's an Issa Daraisa, but we're going to learn that Bikuach Nefesh is Doicha Kol HaTorah Kula, including fasting on Yom Kippur. And therefore, if somebody is unable to fast on Yom Kippur, because it's a health consideration, that he's allowed to eat. Says the Mishnah, Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, Asa Bachila, one may not eat and drink on Yom Kippur. The Sefer Tosfos Yom Kippurim asks, why doesn't our Mishnah mention that on Yom Kippur we're not allowed to do Melacha? So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim explains that the Torah, when it speaks about what we're not allowed to eat or drink or all the other Inuim on Yom Kippur, the Torah is not explicit in what is Mutter and what is Osir. And since the Torah is not explicit, we have the Mishnah, the Gemara have to explain. But when the Torah says Loisasa Kamalacha, the Torah is quite clear in what it means, and therefore it's not needed to be said. It's obvious that one may not eat, the one may not do Malacha on Yom Kippur. And as we said, Achila Vishtiya are awesome Daraisa, and if somebody ate or drink on Yom Kippur, B'mezid, there's a Chiyiv Karis, and B'shoigig, there would be a Chiyiv of Achiva bringing a carbon chatos. Yom Kippur also bechil b'shtiyah berchitza. One may not wash in water. So the Rambam says that when we speak about washing, the halacha is that it's only with water that it's usur. But other types of liquid are not usur. Many Rishonim disagree, and they say that even washing with oneself is usur. Moreover, there's a question, what is the Isser? Is it cold water? Is it warm water? The halacha is that most Paiskim, of course, are of the opinion it doesn't make a difference, cold water or hot water. But as much as we're saying that one is not allowed to wash oneself on Yom Kippur, of course we know that if a person is doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and part of the Avodah, as we learned, is going to the mikveh, Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so he's allowed to do what he has to do. Penilas HaSandal, one is not allowed to wear leather shoes. U'betashmish Amita, one is not allowed to have marital relations. V'amelech, the king, V'akala, Akala, Yirchatzu as Pneim, most are of the opinion, a melech is a king, and a kala is somebody who is a kala within 30 days of the marriage. And this is a raya I saw from the Chabina Rav. There's a question, if one is allowed to get married in Elul, it's not a time for a chasna, it's the time for tshuva. But if that would be the case, we would never be able to have a kala. So it must be that one is allowed to get married in Elul. Moreover, the Chai Adam and the Mishnah Brura quotes the Chai Adam, says that this special heter that the Mishnah gives to a kala doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Because he says b'zman hazeh, since people spend the entire day in shul, and the chassan, the reason we're concerned, we want the kala to look beautiful to our chassan. But b'zman hazeh, where the chassan and kala don't really see them each other all day Yom Kippur, because people spend the entire day of Yom Kippur in shul, there's no problem. There's no reason to allow a kala to wash herself on Yom Kippur. A melech akala yichtzu pneim. The chaya, a woman who just had a baby, tinel as a sandal. Divrei Rav Elazar. According to Rav Elazar, she's allowed to wear shoes because since she's a woman that just had a baby, so she's in a weakened state, and therefore she's allowed to wear shoes. Divrei Rav Elazar. The chum oisrim. The chumim. And here most Rishonim say that all these dispensations that the Mishnah just said for a melech and a kala and if a woman just had a baby, the chum don't apply. There are Rishonim that say that the chum are only disagreeing regarding a melech and a kala, but they are agreeing Rechaya that she is treated more leniently. Ha'icha kesevas agasa. If somebody eats a kesevas agasa, the date, the size of a date on Yom Kippurim, kamayu kegrinisea, it and its pit, that is the shear for eating on Yom Kippur, not like normal where the shear is a kezayis. V'shoysim loy lugmav, if somebody drinks two cheekfuls, that's when there's a chiyuv for drinking Yom Kippur. And as we've discussed, as we're going to discuss, Yom Kippur is not an isra achila. On Yom Kippur, there's a chiyuv inui. On Yom Kippur, there's an obligation that we should be in pain. And till you eat that amount of kesevas agasa, until you drink kumloi lugmav, you're not an inui. It's not a din in achila, it's a din in inui. Furthermore, whenever we speak about the shiurim on Yom Kippur, so there's a time frame as well. The time frame around eating is kedei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to achilas pras, different opinions, anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes, and the drinking is also the shear of the time it takes to drink a revius. So as we just said, when the Torah speaks about the Isra of eating Yom Kippur, the Torah uses the words v'nisimus nefesh sheichem. The Torah says, the Torah does not say lo soichal, and therefore the shear is not a kezayis. Says the Mishnah, kala oichlam et starfim l'kesevis, all different types of food can combine to the shear of kesevis. Kala mashkim, all type of beverages, mit starfim l'mloy lugmav, to the shear of l'mloy lugmav. Ha'oichal v'shoysa, but food and drink, aim et starfim, do not comply. The Tosfos Yom Kippurim says that even though we're just saying that the halachas of combining foods on Yom Kippur, the halacha of achila on Yom Kippur is not the same as all other achila in the Torah, but says the Tosfos Yom Kippurim that even if somebody combines different types of foods that the taste actually clash, still if you eat that amount of food of kesevas agasa, you have yisuvei daita, it will satisfy you, and therefore you'll be chayiv on Yom Kippur. In fact, the Shagas Aryeh says that if somebody eats raw meat on Yom Kippur, so normally when somebody eats something which is not normally eaten, we know there's a rule in halacha of shloi kederach achilasoi. If you eat something which is not normally eaten, if you eat something in an unusual manner of eating, then you're not considered that you ate macholos asuris. But Yom Kippur, it's not connected to achila. Yom Kippur says the Shagas Aryeh is connected to Yisuvei Date. So even if you eat something which normally will be considered in the category of Shaloi Kederach Achila, you would be Chayiv. Another point that the Ksav Sofer makes, he says, here we're saying the shear is Kesev Sagasa, because as we keep on repeating, Kesev Sagasa is what is what Yisuvei Date is dependent. So says the Ksav Sofer, Chiddush, if somebody right before Yom Kippur ate a drop less than a kesevas agasa, and now Yom Kippur began, and he ate the amount to have the shear of a kesevas agasa. So on Yom Kippur itself, says the Ksav Sofer, this individual didn't eat the kesevas agasa. Before Yom Kippur, he ate most of it, and now he just ate the finishing touch. But since the Isser, says the Ksav Sofer on Yom Kippur, is an Isser of Yisuvei Date, this person is having Yisuvei Date. And therefore, since it's having Yisuvei Date, that's why you'll be Chayiv, even though on Yom Kippur itself you didn't eat that much at all. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah said Osser. Osser seems to imply it's only Osser. But we learned as we began the Mishnah that the eating and drinking, everybody agrees that if somebody eats and drinks on Yom Kippur b'mezid, should is chayiv karis. So why does the Mishnah just use the word osur? The Mishnah should have used the word chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Amar Revil of Itema, Rav Yirmiya, l'nitzchel chatzi shir. But somebody didn't eat a whole shir. So somebody did not eat a whole shir. The halacha is that yichayiv, that you're not going to be chayiv karis, but it's still osur. So here we're learning that halacha, as we're about to begin the sugya of chatzi shir, is also min haTorah. So I saw that many achronim ask the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, the Afik Yam, ask why does the halacha of chatzi shir taught by Yom Kippur more than anywhere else? So he says, because Yom Kippur, as we've been learning, is different. When we speak about the Isser of eating in Yom Kippur, it's different than in other places when we speak about not allowed to eat. When we speak about in other places, the one is not allowed to eat, the food is Asr. Machal Sasur, something which is not kosher, is inherently Asr. On Yom Kippur, food is not Asr. The food doesn't become non-kosher on Yom Kippur. It's I who may not eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, maybe there should not be a halacha of chatzi shir. Teaches us our Mishnah that even when the food itself is not inherently Asr, the din of chatzi shir applies. Ask the Gemara, Hanich l'mandam chatzi shir asr min ha-Torah. So this explanation can be understood according to the opinion that holds the chatzi shir is asr min ha-Torah. However, ask the Gemara, l'mandam chatzi shir motu min ha-Torah, mayik l'meimer, ditmar. There's a machlaikis. Rabbi Yochanan Amar asr min ha-Torah. Rabbi Yochanan holds that chatzi shir is asr min ha-Torah. Rish Lakish Amar motu min ha-Torah. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Hanich l'Rabbi Yochanan, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds chatzi shir as asr, we have a great explanation why the Mishnah used this word asr, because it's talking about the only eight of chatzi shir. Eller of Shlokish, that holds chatzi shir as mutim na taira, how do we go back to our original question, how do we explain our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Moed Rish Lakish, Shasim Drabonin. Even though Rish Lakish may hold that chatzi shir is not asr midaraisa, he will agree that chatzi shir is asr midrabanan, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us and talk about. What just happened? Something just very bad happened there.